Welcome to Professional Conversationalist, the podcast, the space where we explore the wonder, humor, and craziness in conversations and situations in that rarefied atmosphere that we call the workplace. The podcast that helps you make sense of working with other humans, including you. The podcast that helps you make sense of work. For the very first time, welcome one and all to Professional Conversationalist, the podcast. Chris, I'm going to do the whole thing again. The space where we explore the wonder, humor, and craziness in conversations and situations that in that rarefied atmosphere that we call the workplace. The podcast that helps you make sense of working with humans, including you. And the podcast that helps you make sense of work.
Well, thank you for that overcharged, hypercharged. Thank you for that hypercharged introduction, Yare. In this episode...
We need to do it.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about what this podcast is all about and what motivated us to do it. Yeah. So that's what we'll be talking about today. We'll be talking about the origins, how this podcast came about. We'll be talking about conversations and the nature of conversations, that they are everything in the workplace. We'll talk about what it means to be the professional conversationalist, what makes work a special case, and also we'll refer to the wonderfulness that is the prison of language and what we think people get out of this podcast, if anything, because obviously we can't come to that conclusion because they might not get anything, right?
They're going to get something. They're going to get something. If nothing else, they'll get a diminution of their hearing. All right. Get serious, Yara. Get serious and stop it. Get serious. All right. So, Chris, may as well tell people who you are, Chris.
I'm Chris.
Thanks. That's a lot of information right there. That's exactly what people needed to know. You're doing a fine job. I love it.
All right.
Can I ask that you take us just a millimeter deeper? Maybe even a surname.
I'm Chris. Chris Chin, and I'm the Managing Director of Curious Learning.
Excellent. And I think that...
And you are.
That almost says it all, and definitely sets me up. My name is Yare. I'm going to go almost as deeply as Chris. No, my name is Yare Umeni. I am the Director of Positive Intervention. Both orgs are deeply entrenched in helping humans to be much better at doing the very thing they want to be doing in business. Humans do business. Businesses don't do businesses. Don't do business. Humans do business. And the more human they can be, the better at being human they can be, the better they'll be at business. Is that a fair assessment, Chris?
I think it is, Yare. Often, I think people forget that it is humans doing business and businesses are seen as machines that somehow churn out the output into the world that bring us value. But actually, the reality is we're just a bunch of human beings, right?
Just a bunch of humans doing stuff, and humans do human stuff. And so if we can get to be a bit better at doing that human piece, actually, you earn more dosh, you make more money, you achieve more goals, and you bag and you put into your accomplishment bucket more stuff of your to-do list. More strategy gets executed on, and I can keep doing this for quite a while. So I'll stop it just there. All right, Chris, what's the origins of this fair podcast thingy that we're on?
The origins of the podcast, we were chatting, and I think you'll remember that we chatted a while back about how people spend so much time at work and they expend so much energy, so much emotion, so much of what represents them into the workplace. And there are crazy things that happen in the workplace. There are really great things that happen in the workplace. Yeah. There are also other things that happen in the workplace.
The prison that is language. Yeah,
the prison that is language. So we thought it might be useful for viewers to really explore the work in a variety of ways, the good, the bad, the ugly, if you like, of the workplace. And I think in the podcast, original vision is that people would find help and hints, if that's what they wanted, that they could enjoy hearing the funny things that happen in workplaces to give them a little bit of context.
Yeah.
As regards their own workplaces, what's happening in these crazy workplaces?
Yeah.
as they go along.
Yeah.
And also that we would bring along experts in their fields, and they'd talk about a variety of things that happen in the workplace, predominantly centered around interactions and how people interact in the workplace, by talking about these things that people would pick up hints and tips as regards what might be more effective ways of doing things in order to help our listeners advance their careers.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that as we talk about these things, that it'll transpire to people, it'll occur to people that we're all very, very different and people think very differently. And somehow you might be able to listen to someone and you'll suddenly realize there's another way of thinking about things that might be even more effective than what you do now.
Yeah.
Does that sound?
You captured much of that, the origin piece, much of it, I think. It is about that, all the intention about helping people, exactly right. The conversations at work, it's amazing how much of a maze they are. They seem like just conversations with other people. There's so much more going on in them. The other thing we talked about, we were having these conversations because we go out, we work with different organizations, from charities to big multinationals, and we help very senior people to have the right kinds of conversations with sometimes other very senior people, sometimes more junior people, sometimes people outside of their organization. We help them to have better quality conversations, because quality conversations is their stock in trade. It's how things get done. And it struck us that there's a lot of stuff around this that is one that is really interesting, incredibly funny to when you take a step back and look at it, but also is really important. And there's stuff that if people got that, they might have better conversations. Now, it's not, and I think it's worth pointing out now, that we never started out thinking, oh, we found something that no one else has found. No, it's not that no one else has found it, or that no one else has ever spoken about it. Not at all. There are people that have spoken about it. There are people that are probably speaking about it even now. However, there is a perspective that we've taken that I haven't seen in lots of other places, about the ways of thinking about how people converse, the way people think about how they give, receive feedback even, and the way that they exchange information, the requests they make, all that sort of stuff. I just haven't heard people talking about that in any detail, with any humor and with any clarity. Maybe I live a very thin life and I just have not exposed to enough people who are talking about this. That might be the case. But it seemed a really useful proposition to put some of the conversations we've been having out there, let people listen to them if they want to, and see if they ring a bell of any sort with somebody. It might. If it does, then maybe they might enjoy both listening to and contributing to those conversations. The other thing you mentioned, which I think is... I am so looking forward to, and we've got some great people lined up, is the chance that we'll have to get some people in and talk to them about their experiences and the situations they've gone through and had to navigate, be they easy or hard, with regard to having conversations with people. Both you and I have been coaches for quite a while, and you are more than just the average coach. You're also a hypnotherapist. And that in itself is a platform for incredible conversations. And I know you have a lot to share on that. And so we'll get the chance to get in there. So if you listen to this, there's there's a lot going on, and there's quite a bit to get your teeth into. And I'm loving the idea that we can actually think about how we converse and put a pause and think, well, how am I about to have this conversation? What might I do differently? And see if that has an impact. So I think that's pretty much it. I also think, as we talk, we're probably going to go, oh, that should have been in the origins. Because lots of things will come up that actually are part of the origins. But that's those conversations of ours. We're having so many conversations on Zoom about this that we thought it might be worth having other people get some of that. And also, we laugh so much. Well, I laugh significantly, and you laugh a little bit at least. And
I laugh only when it's funny. How about that? I think that's
if
fair.
If anybody, right? Christopher Chin, if anybody accuses you of lacking timing, send them to me and I will disabuse them of that. I will disabuse them of that. All right, so the oranges. I remember when Trump was talking about the origins and he just couldn't say origins. He just kept saying the oranges and he tried it several times. I tell you what, I've rarely weed myself as much as when I was watching that. sorry. Get that gutter's yours, Chris. You did that. That was you. That's 100% you. You did that. I didn't do that. You did that.
Well, I apologize. I apologize for making you your mind go into the gutter so quickly, so quickly.
You did that.
You know, conversations are everything, aren't they? They're complex. They're really complex. I mean, the way that humans interact with one another.
But why do you say everything, Chris? Why are they everything? That's a big old statement.
I don't know. I just like the word everything. It's all encompassing. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it doesn't really matter. It's what I'm evoking. It evokes things in people. And if it evokes a reaction from you, everything, really, everything? Are you talking about everything, the whole universe, shebang, from the Big Bang, if it really exists, to everything? Is that what you're saying? You know what? I don't care. It's now producing conversation, but that's what I mean by it's complex. It's complex, but it's what we evoke, and it's how things get done in the workplace. Everything gets done by a conversation. It's the start of everything. People have thoughts, and these thoughts are then translated into stuff that comes out of their mouths into other people's ears, which then translates into actions, right? So conversations are everything in the workplace, and that's why we talk about people in the workplace. They are professional conversationalists, and we've regularly run this idea with companies, organizations all over the world, that we are professional conversationalists. We're not people having conversations down the pub if you're in good old United Kingdom, or bars if you're elsewhere, or anywhere else you kind of call it. We're not people who can let just these conversations just wander where they want, because we are time bound. We have limited time.
Yeah. In the workplace, it's different. In the workplace, it's different. And there are different levels of it. There are different levels of it. But when you say conversations are everything, and you have to make the distinction that work conversations and conversations down the bar have to be different. Mm. Even though conversations are everything, not all conversations are equal. And many times, that alone is a distinction people don't make. So somebody's having a conversation as if they're down the pub, whereas somebody else is having a conversation as if it's a work thing, limited by time, limited by resource. And the two are having a problem. And there's a lack, like you said about the transfer, you know, you're something in one person's brain, gets to their mouth, and then they send it through the air to another person through their ears and hits their brain. Not all those things are the same thing. We treat it as if it's a straight line. I told you, somebody will say. Didn't we talk about this, somebody will say. As if that meant we understood the meaning that was in my head and it went straight as that meaning, unadjusted, into your head, and then we left it without checking anything. We go, how do you know that he or she knew what you were saying? Well, I told them. And as if that I told them is enough, right? But what it's really important, this point you're making about the distinction between the context of a conversation. Because the one down the pub, if we stop halfway, it doesn't matter. If we stop halfway, what's on the line might be less or different. Because you can have very important conversations down the pub. But it might be less or different than if we don't complete the conversation in the workplace. Because if we don't complete the conversation in the workplace, the consequences live within a specific bubble or within specific boundaries. And there are consequences regarding resources, regarding allocation of time, that will come from these conversations. And we may not recognize when we don't hit those metrics. We may not recognize. We just complain in 3 months when something didn't get done, not bringing it back to the conversation that we didn't complete.
That's right. That's right. And not to mention the emotional energy, right? So when you get conversations that don't get to completion, people are left with, what did we just spend 2 hours talking about? Yeah. What's going on here? Yeah. And people feel disenfranchised, don't they? And they then think, well, that was a bit of a waste of time. And they question the competency of the team that they're in or the other persons that they're interacting with. Yeah. And so that expends a lot of mental and emotional energy for people.
And puts a lot of things at risk. Puts a lot of things at
exactly.
risk. The trust may not need to have been questioned. Mm. They don't question. Typically, people don't question the quality of the conversation. They go, did you tell them? And somebody goes, yes. Phew! I've done my accountability bit. I told them, so that's me done. I'm all right. Whereas, I told them, isn't the same as the answer to the question, do they know?
Do they know? That's right.
Side story. I'm in a company that I was in a while back for quite a while. The person who brought me into the company, who I respect immensely, was having a conversation with us, we're a bunch of facilitators, and this person is the lead facilitator. And the facilitators are terrible at responding to email, utterly terrible. It's the worst medium for communication in the company for this group. It shouldn't have been, but it was the case. And this leader says, I told all you people this piece of information. And I said, well, how did you tell us? And they said, I emailed you. And they looked at their assistant and said, did you email? Yeah, I sent the email. You were all emailed. So, well, you know that nobody reads emails. Everybody's on the road. Nobody reads emails. And if they do, it's late. So they don't respond to them because there's no point. They've been out all day. They don't respond to emails. You've known that for a long time. So yeah, but it doesn't really matter because I did email you. That's not the same as making sure people knew. But this person was adamant. But you were told. No, we weren't told. We were emailed. And email doesn't get through. It should have gotten through. I get it. But that's a different thing to do people know. You sending emails and people knowing are two very different things. He was adamant. To the point where he took the scarf off his neck. He threw it down and it wasn't, I told you. And I said, no, you didn't. You didn't. You told us that it was something else that was, you were happy for us to ignore, like you were happy for us to ignore every other thing that comes through email, including emails that you get, that we send you. That you were happy for it to be as ignored, because that's what happens with things that go through email. And the truth of it was just biting and challenging. It wasn't an attempt to be difficult. It was a reflection of the facts. One person had sent information, but it absolutely had never been received, absorbed, and made actionable, because the medium gave that information a particular color and a particular context. And if you're sending it by email, then it's something I don't need to respond to quickly. I could easily not talk about it, not connect with it, and there would be no comeback. It's not important. And if you put stuff like that in that stream, it'll be treated that way, especially if you know that's what happens with things that go in there. Mm. But this is stuff that doesn't really get talked about. And yet it can cause pretty bitter, bitter conversation. Can affect relationships. It can be nasty.
And we've seen that. And we've seen that all over the place in the organizations we've worked in, right? It's like, why are they CCing them? Why are they CCing them? Why are they, and even worse, why are they BCCing them? Blind carbon copy.
Yes.
Ooh, we could go there, but not right
BCC, now. Created by the devil, of course.
Exactly right. And I think what we'll be talking about in this podcast is, and I think this is a slightly deeper thing, right, ERA, about the wonderfulness that is the prison of language. Mm. Because when we converse, when we interact with one another, the language we use has a really powerful thing going on, because we are trapped by language. Because as soon as we name something in language, we assign it very definite properties. It could be any concept. Words in the workplace, like accountability, delegation, trust, all these words that are thrown about, customer satisfaction. as soon as we put language around them, we are somehow creating the boundaries of what that concept means to us. And the funny thing is that people think it's actually shared, when often there are significant nuances in the meanings, but we all use the same kinds of language and we think it means the same thing. And so we're trapped in some ways by language, and it traps us in our thinking, because we all create these mental models inside our heads. What means what? And how things work, and what causes what. And it traps us in one sense, and it's very useful in another sense, because it enables us to navigate the world of work.
Yeah.
And in the same token, by using different types of language and different structures within language, we can also liberate ourselves from these models. People call that development, or at least it's an important part of development. And in hypnosis and hypnotherapy, that's exactly what goes on. It's the explicit use of language and communication in order to change meaning, and therefore what happens inside your body. Because let's face it, what happens inside our minds translates also into what we feel inside our bodies. And that's why when you have an interaction with your boss, and your boss says something in a certain tone, you feel your body perhaps going warm or
responding,
going cold in some way, shape or form, because there's that mind-body connection. Your neurology is firing.
Yeah.
And to think of it as separate, I think, would be a big mistake.
Yeah.
So the wonderfulness that is the prison of language is so important.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I think there's the connection that you make between language and stuff you can't change. Stuff that happens without you being consciously aware of it starting or stopping. So boss says, knocks on the door of your office and says, sometime this afternoon, can you come over to, we need to have a word. Seriously, suddenly you're sweating. I was working for an oil company. I won't say which one. I'm dying to say which one, but I won't say it. And this is very, very early on in my first career. And I'm on the fourth one now. My boss said, I need to come over to your desk. I want you to show me how you do something. And he came over and he stood over me and he said, can you just show me this thing that you do? And I was flummoxed. And as he was standing over me, And I had a sheet of paper in front of me. I was working on my computer, and he was standing over there looking at what I was clicking on and how I was getting to this thing. I just watched sweat drop from my brow onto this sheet of paper in an air-conditioned office. The beads of sweat had grown to the point where they need now where weight enough gravity could affect them and draw them from my skin onto the paper on the table. And I remember
I'm gonna say that bead of sweat spoke loudly. Loudly, right? And it gave stuff away. Your boss is now thinking some things that you might, you know, be wondering. Oh, hold on a second here.
I think he said something along the lines of, "You don't know where it is, do you?" And something along those lines. I can't remember. And you know when everything says yes with before you've said anything, you couldn't say yes I do, because obviously the table is now awash with moisture from inside your body, right? So there's nowhere for you to say no, I'm fine about this. And then he walked away. he walked away, and there I was sitting there in this air-conditioned office, utterly awash as if I'd fallen in a puddle. And it was.
Literally falling in a puddle in your case, right?
But
my word,
it happened. So this prison of language, and the other thing, I was having a conversation with. This came up a couple of times recently, and some conversation you and I have already had. But I was having this conversation with somebody else, and I was trying to explain that we don't think in words. We think we do, but we don't actually, because you can have a whole movie happen between two blinks of an eye, right? You can sleep for 5 minutes, but actually be away for 5 hours, right, in your dream. So it's not reasonable to believe that we think in words. We just think we do. So what's actually happened is you're thinking thoughts and concepts and whatever it is. Then you've got to translate that into language and then tell somebody else. But if you don't have a strong vocabulary, if you don't have a mastery, and most people really don't, most people spend their lives within about 200 to 300 words. That's where they live. And that's how they conduct most of their lives. Hey, Barry, how are you? How are you doing? We're going to do that on Thursday. You know, they've got so few words to play with that communicating effectively real concepts and things of real difference that have nuance and there are differences, and those differences are where the money is. Trying to communicate those things, if you don't have a mastery of the language and your hearer doesn't have a similar mastery and is attuned to where you're going with your language, if you don't have that, language is your problem.
Because that's right. Because you're unable to make the nuances, right?
You can't tell them what you're thinking.
You're unable to make the distinctions that separate the slightly different strands of thought. I mean, as you say that, it reminds me of that, because one of my hobbies is snooker, and I like playing snooker. Yeah. And I have this friend who I play with very often down at the snooker club.
You say friend.
I say friend. Vicious opponent who serves to undermine me at every opportunity. That's what I mean by friend. But when he misses a shot, the same words come out of his mouth every time. He will say, "Missed that by a country mile." After about the 20th time of hearing it in the same session, I'm going, Do you realise that you've just said that for the 20th time?
Yeah.
I missed that by a country mile. But it's just habit, right? People are so used to using the same language. It's what's easy for them. It's in their neurology.
Yeah.
It just comes out of their mouth.
This isn't choice. But people, they're just doing it. It comes out.
It's automatically happening, right? Yes. And as that happens, they hold that same construction, if you like, of a worldview that they've held in place, and it reveals itself. And of course, in the workplace, we want to be forever expanding our worldview.
But we assume, Chris, we assume.
We do.
Like you've just said there, just imagine, this is a person who has created a pattern, didn't know they were doing it, but has created a pattern of response. A miss, regardless how close the miss was to a hit, if it's not a hit, it's a miss. The moment it's a miss, that's the input that goes into the machine that then what comes out is missed by a country mile. And then when in conversations, we assume that people are 100% free to use any form of words they like, as if we are not pattern forming the whole time and creating these rules that force us down language tracks, that we describe things in a specific way, regardless of our meaning. We may not intend to describe them that way. So when that person is asked, did that person score in a completely different sport, might say, missed by a country mile. When somebody was really close to getting it but didn't get it, because in his mind, it's a miss. So he might, off the cuff, without thinking, not intending to be critical, say, about somebody else's miss, missed that by a country mile. Somebody else, hearing that, might take a meaning that he had not intended. And the two people may never check what they have taken away from that conversation. They may never check. That second person might go and share it with somebody else and say, spoke to Bob, says that Steve missed it by a country mile.
Yeah.
With a meaning now that means something other than what was intended. And nobody in this chain is asking each other, do you get what I'm saying? Or is what I'm saying a true reflection of the fact? Nobody's asking that question. No one.
Or even, is what I'm saying causing some other side effect that I'm not aware of? And I think one of the common things that will come up in our conversations over these podcasts is the concept of what's being evoked. What's being evoked from the conversations.
Yes.
And for what's being evoked in me after 20 times of missed by a country mile was I'm not even sure how to express it. I was just like, oh, not again.
Not again.
I'm going to say, I was mildly annoyed. How about that? I was mildly annoyed. But it's what's being evoked. So these are some of the things that we'll be talking about in our podcast going forward. We'll be talking a whole host of things and getting a whole host of people as guests on our show, people who will be in very senior positions, CEOs, very strategic people in different industries, people at all levels in organizations.
Coaches, therapists. Conversation is their job.
That's right. And we'll be asking them questions about how they see things, and they'll be sharing some of the horror stories. They'll be sharing some of the greatest triumphs, how they influence people in language, how they interacted with people to get results, a whole variety of things.
Key learnings as well. I think
key learnings.
One of the things I think, Chris, I'm really looking forward to is being able to share some of the things we've learned and really enjoying and learning from some of the things others have learned. Sometimes we learn because we are utterly doofuses in this, because we it might even be the job we do, but we're not better than anyone else. We have the same, we are subject to the same patterns, the same nonsense, and it's really wonderful to catch ourselves do it. So our learnings, and I'm looking forward to learning from both the people that come on the show, but also people that choose to engage, because there's a whole bunch of learning out there. We can always be better at this. This is not... You're never as good as you can be at conversing, at having conversations. There's always room to make conversations even better, even more effective. And I love that idea. I'm really in love with that idea.
Yeah. And the stuff that we'll be talking about, of course, will not only be relevant for the workplace, it will transcend the workplace, because we as human beings, we converse, we interact, we chat. So finally, Yare, what do you think people will get out of it? Our podcast.
So,
if I was to ask you that question.
So, can I just say thanks for asking that question, Chris?
Well, you're welcome. I've just asked it. Can you answer the question, please?
Wholly unexpected.
You've just changed topic.
wholly unexpected. Wasn't anticipating that at all, even though it is the one at the end of the list there. Okay, the thing that I'm... When we proposed the idea of doing a podcast, one of the things I wanted people to get out of it was that it would be a little bit of fun and enjoyable to listen to, although, like again, I said, some people's ears are going to be blown. Let me just say right now, apologies for that. But also the chance to just reflect on what we do. Everybody, actually, especially in the rarefied environment we call work, everybody is a professional conversationalist. Conversations are how things get done. Even the silence, even when you're working on your own, you are conversing with self. And I think by now we know, by now we should know, that conversing with self is as much and as important a set of conversations.
If not more important.
If not more important. And it's ongoing. Yeah. And so I really think there is something very special about taking a moment to think about conversations and the nature of conversations. And then there's, of course, the opportunity to get better and start to incorporate things and incorporate practices, change things up. But more than anything else, awareness. If people become more aware, they just become more capable. That's the reality. Mm. The more people are able to know about what's going on, the better they are at having a chance to make some choices. They can choose to continue, or they could choose to do something different. And just the idea that they could get that was a kind of driver for doing this. That was kind of what I was thinking, that they get a chance. They have some fun, get a chance to become more aware. Here's some things they didn't know, have a laugh, but leave a little bit more enabled because they get a bit of awareness. Does that, it's not going to succinctly do it, but does that kind of answer the question? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ari. And for me, what I'm hoping that people get out of it, again, is an awareness of how we create our own worlds and our own limitations by the language that we actually use. Yeah. And that by listening to these podcasts, as they hear how other people are doing it, that it somehow broadens their own thinking about themselves, the world, and how they are meant to interact in the world.
Yes.
And that's very powerful. That's very, very powerful.
I think so.
To recreate your own world because of your awareness of language.
Yeah.
That's what I suspect that some people will get from it.
Yeah.
Though not all.
Nor should they. No, and it won't be for everybody. We're hoping that there might be like five. Five would be good.
Yeah.
There'll be some for whom it'll work perfectly. And we'd like to get some feedback as well. Get people to talk about what they think about it, and I bet you there'll be things that we can change about it. But that's all in the logistics. You know, we can do all that, but most importantly, let's have some conversations. This has been the Professional Conversationalist Podcast, the space where we explore the humor and craziness in conversations and situations in that rarefied atmosphere that we call the workplace. We'll be with you again on the next one. Bye.